You're listening to audio from Hardin Baptist Church. For more audio content or other information about our church, please visit hardinbaptist.org.
Amen. You can be seated. If you have your Bibles, Hebrews 10 is where we'll be at in just a moment, so you want to go ahead and turn there. So I was driving home from Knoxville last night. There was a Partner in Christ board meeting, and Partners in Christ is an organization that we take a lot of our mission trips through. So they had their first of the year board meeting. They wanted me to come kind of be like a spiritual advisor, help walk through some decisions they're trying to make. So I was like, great. So I went down Friday, and then the meeting was sort of all day Saturday, and I'm driving home, and I get just past Nashville, and on my phone, I can see a text come through, and it's from one of our missionaries on the other side of the world, and I glance at it, and I see what it said. And I immediately grabbed the phone and I called him. And I'm listening, heart kind of pumping a little bit. It's like ring, 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 nothing. So I hang up and I immediately just call again. Ring, ring, ring. And then he says, hey, I'm like, bro, are you kidding? And I lost it. I mean, I went nuts over what had just happened. And I said, is she still there? And he said, yeah, like we're putting her on the plane. She's still in the line, but yeah, she's about to get on the plane. I said, can you still see her? Yeah. You go tell her that there's a pastor in Kentucky who wants to say, you are my new hero. And he said, all right, man, I'll do it. He hung up the phone. And he went and told this young girl, we'll call her Gloria, that's not her name, early 20s. Hey, there's a pastor who says, you are his hero. Now you're gonna hear a lot of her story this morning. So I'm not going to get into more of it yet, but you're going to hear why she is my new hero. And it has to do with the text we're about to land in, because as I wrestled with this text sort of for the last few weeks, I've been off for a couple of weeks, right? So I'm like ready to go. So as I walked through this text, reading about a people who joyfully accepted the plundering of all of their stuff. Man. That was a hard, just to look at and think. There are people who have lived for the glory of Christ and it cost them everything. And the reason is because they had a better and a abiding possession, right? They had God. God is better than all of our stuff. But I'm reading this text. These are people who actually gave up everything. And then I'm hearing a story about a girl on the other side of the world right now, real time, who's doing the exact same thing. And I'm just asking my own heart, what would I do? What would I do if I had to choose? Christ or my comfort? Christ or my family? Christ or my life? I mean, I want to say it's Jesus, right? I want to say, yes, absolutely. But I've been on that road in my mind a few times, and it's just, that's a hard spot. But what I can see is there's people in the past that have done it. There's people right now who are doing it. So my prayer is, Lord, if I have to go there, may I also choose Christ versus everything else. Because here's how you get to that point. You have to begin to hold tight to what you can't lose. That's our title this morning, Holding Tight to What You Can't Lose. If you're familiar with Jim Elliot, famous missionary who was martyred, he had a quote, he is no fool to give up what he cannot keep, to gain what he cannot lose. And so I'm kind of borrowing that to just title this sermon, because these are people, they were no fools. And I think sometimes we can be foolish. We hold tight to the things we can't keep. Like that's us. We're people that hold tight to all of our stuff and all of our lives and all of our dreams. We're holding tight to things we actually can't keep. They're gonna go, right? They're gonna leave us at some point, but we hold tight to the things we can't keep and we forget to hold tight to the one we can't lose, who is Jesus. So what I wanna encourage us this morning is to make sure that every day we're making a choice to hold tight to the one we can't lose and hold loose all those things we know we're going to lose anyways. So if you have your Bibles, let's go to Hebrews chapter 10. And I just want to marvel at some heroes, because I'm going to call these people heroes. And you can say, you shouldn't have heroes. These are my heroes. Just watch what they do. It's spectacular. And so if you want to stand out of reverence for the word of God, we're just going to read what happens in their story. So verse 32 says this, "But recall the former days when after you were enlightened, you endured a hard struggle with suffering, sometimes being publicly exposed to reproach and affliction, and sometimes being partners with those so treated. For you had compassion on those in prison, and you joyfully accepted the plundering of your property, since you knew that you yourselves had a better possession and an abiding one. Therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward, for you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what is promised. For yet a little while, and the coming one will come and will not delay. But my righteous one shall live by faith, and if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who have faith and preserve their souls." Let's pray together. Father, we pray that we would just see the faith of these people who had something better than everything else. They were willing to lose everything because they had everything. Because they were able to risk and love and serve and do things that would be hard for us, but they knew they had something better, and that's you. So convince us in this room that we have something better in you. You're better in abiding than all the things we want to hold tight to. Father, we pray this in Jesus' good name. Amen. You guys may be seated. So that's the task. Hold tight to what you can't lose. Hold loose to all those things you're going to lose anyways. That's what we want to see kind of from this text. So the first thing he's going to do is ask them to recall. So we're going to recall our past endurance. That's the first thing. Now, if you were here last week, it was a little scary, right? He got a little bit like all warning on us. And it's like, hey, if you're like deliberately in sin, trampling on the blood of Christ, like you should be expecting like judgment and wrath. That's what is coming for you. And so it's the idea of, hey, you're going to face judgment one day, and you're either going to be in the sacrifice of Christ or not. And you don't want to be outside the sacrifice of Christ on judgment day. You want to be hidden in his blood so that when you see God, you don't face his wrath, but his love. So I can imagine they're a little worried, just like you might be a little worried. Well, I want to make sure I'm not that. I want to make sure I'm in the sacrifice. I'm in the blood of Christ. I'm holding fast to Christ. So he's now going to give them, I think, conviction and comfort, because both of those things happen through the Holy Spirit, conviction and comfort. And so a little bit of comfort right off the bat. He says, hey, recall for a moment your former days when you were first enlightened. And so I want us to go back, because here's what I think some of us think. We just heard about judgment, and our question is like, I deliberately sin sometimes too, right? You may have that thought like, oh man, like what about me? This might not be good. And so sometimes in real time, we can look at our lives and think, man, I'm not quite like Jesus yet. Like I'm not perfect, so I might be in big trouble. And I think he's like, hold on just a second. Let's go back. Let's run the tape. Remember who you used to be. Like, recall your former days. Go back to that for a second. And I want some of us to go back to our former days. Because here's what I think. Sometimes we're really hard on ourselves because we're not quite where we want to be. I mean, if any of you get a little discouraged at the fact you're not quite where you want to be with the Lord, anybody? Show of hands. I'll double hand. Like, yes, that's me. Why am I still there? Why am I still doing that? Like, I want to be here. And so we get panicked. Like, man, I'm not where I should be or I want to be. Therefore, maybe I'm not even in Christ. I think the question is, well, don't forget how far you've come. Like, that's a good thing to look back and be like, okay, I'm here and I'm not perfect, but I ain't that guy. That guy, that girl was crazy. Like, she was wayward. He was wayward, right? Here's Adam. He was like, man, I was that. And if it weren't for Christ, man, where would I be right now? And I think for all of us, if it weren't for Christ, you would either be like crazy in rebellion or crazy in self-righteousness. Like, those are the two. You're going to be really bad or really good. But you wouldn't be gospel-centered. You wouldn't be humbly obeying the Lord. So I think just in real time, think about who you were. And then it says you were enlightened. That's talking about conversion. You understood the gospel. Hey, guess what? That you're sinful and separated from God, and that brings judgment. You understood that. You were terrified by that, panicked by that. But then you also heard the good news that Jesus Christ died on a cross to save sinners from the wrath of God, to bring them into a relationship with him. And you know what you did? You repented and believed in Christ. You were enlightened. You came to the Savior. You were converted, and now you have new life. So he's saying, hey, recall your conversion. Recall. So I want you to maybe go back in time to when you came to Christ. Think about that moment when the Lord opened your eyes to see him, and just take a moment and look at not how perfect you are, but how much progress you've made. Because you've probably made a little bit of progress. You've probably gotten a little bit, I'm not perfect, but man, I'm not that. And there's a little bit of comfort in that to think, man, I'm growing and I'm moving. So he says, hey, recall back, because he's going to tell this church you've been through some things. You've walked through some things, and it proves some things that God is actually better than everything else. So notice what he says, recall your former days when you're enlightened. He says this, you endured a hard struggle with suffering. Here's a church that when they came to Christ, they entered into suffering. Now, that's a little shocking to us, because we assume if we change from Satan's team to God's team, things are going to get better, right? If God owns the world and made us all and he knows best, once we get on God's team, everything's going to be great. We're going to have an awesome life. But yet, for all the Bible readers, you know that we're going through the recap right now, and we've been doing the last 8 days in Job. You know what's surprising about Job? He suffers greatly. And do you know why he suffers greatly? Because he's righteous and because he's obedient. It's not he's suffering because he did something wrong. He's suffering because he did everything right. And that shocks us, right? Satan says, hey, I'm going to go after Job because he's a good guy. And God's like, okay, I'm going to let it happen. And so God allows suffering in Job's life, and his obedience is what prompted it, not his rebellion. That's hard for us to stomach, because we think if we do good, we'll receive good. If we do bad, we'll receive bad. But here's a bunch of Christians who came to Christ and they received suffering. He goes on a little bit about what their suffering was. If you notice in the text, it says sometimes being publicly exposed to reproach and affliction. Man, so you've got to imagine these are Jews who are coming out of Judaism, so they've grew up in temple. They've grew up in synagogue. Their mom and dad, their grandma and granddad, their whole community, their whole family, they went to Jewish school. Like, everything about them is Torah and law, and now Christ has came, and they're believing that Christ is the Messiah, so they're turning from works and law to Jesus. They're leaving Judaism to become Christians, and it also means they're kicked out of synagogue, and often they're kicked out of family. Now they're suffering reproach and affliction. They used to work for dad at his shop, and now dad's kicked you out, so now you're on the street and you don't have work to do. You're suffering. You're being exposed to affliction and persecution. You can't go to the place you used to go. The friends you used to have are all abandoning you. Life has gotten worse, and it's because you have came to faith in Jesus, and now you're following him. So he says, hey, remember what you went through. And for some of us, man, it's just so shocking to think that coming to faith in Christ would lead to that. So I'm going to tell you a little about Gloria's story. So a couple of weeks ago, I got clued into Gloria. It's not a real name, but we'll just use that. She's been with our missionary friends for a while, hearing the gospel, learning about the gospel, understanding the gospel. She's Muslim from a Muslim family, so she knows if I become a Christian, this is going to cost me a lot. So she's listening and liking what she hears, but she's in no way ready to make a commitment to Christ. Well, 2 weeks ago, she decided that she loves Jesus more than her sin. And she loves Jesus more than her family, more than her religion, more than all the other stuff. So she decided to repent and believe in Christ. She gave her life to Jesus. And so it's unbelievable, right? Like if you knew what part of the world, this is not an easy place to become a Christian. So missionary friends are excited. They've been praying for this girl. They've been walking with this girl. So excited about this girl. And then within days, her family finds out. And so they drive to the city and they kidnap her. And they take her back to her father's house. And they lock her in her room. And they bring family members and they barricade the doors and they put family members around the house so that she can't leave. The sisters are in it, the mom and dad are in on it, and they are barricading her telling her if she doesn't renounce Christ, she is never able to leave because it brings too much shame on the family. At one point, Gloria said, her dad grabbed her by the hair and with a hammer in his hand said, if you don't renounce Christ, I'm going to bash your skull in. And assuming he's dead serious, she says, I can't renounce Christ. He's my savior and he saved me and I love him more than my life and I love him more than you and I love him whatever it cost. Yeah, amen. In the Lord's providence and grace, the father didn't have the courage to go through with it, so he banished her back in her room. So our missionary friends are praying. She's praying. They're trying to get burner phones. They're trying to figure out how do we evacuate? How do we rescue? I'm on the phone with several people and trying to orchestrate all of this. And then through prayer and just God's providence, she's asking certain things. Hey, God, make this happen and I'll do this. Make this happen. And God orchestrates all the pieces and she's able to at the right moment run out of her house and get into a car and escape back into the care of our missionary friends. And when we read things like this, it's like, oh, well, that's 2,000 years ago. Yeah, like suffering happened. This is right now. Like last night, she got on a plane and flew to a different country to be safe. She had to make a decision. Do I love Jesus more or do I love my life more? And if I have to choose my life or Christ, what would I choose? My family or Christ? My stuff, my education. She had to drop out, couldn't go back to school. Like all of her life is different now. She had to choose. These people are having to choose. And so what the writer is trying to say, the preacher is trying to say, hey, you've been through some stuff, you've suffered, you've endured. And what we're going to see in a moment is that all throughout that suffering at the other side of it, God always proved himself to be enough and better than everything else. So we have Gloria, who's my new hero. We have these people who are my heroes here. Like I don't know that I could do it. I want to do it, but I don't know if I could do it. And if we're honest, all of us are a little bit like that. Like, I want to do it, but man, I don't know until you're put in that moment. So we've got to be the people that start holding tight to the one we can't lose, who is Jesus, and hold loose to all the things we're going to lose anyways. That's where we have to get in our lives. I'm holding loose to everything I'm going to lose and tight to Christ. So when it comes to that decision, I've got no decision. It's Jesus. So notice, they're suffering. They're publicly exposed. Then it says, and sometimes being partners with those so mistreated. So you've got one half that are getting mistreated, thrown out. We're going to see in a moment they're going to prison, some of them. And so then you got the believers who aren't suffering. They're on the other side of it. Things are going okay with them. So what do? They choose to link themselves with the ones that are suffering. Because what they understand is they're not just people on the other side of this. They are my brothers and sisters. We are all part of the body of Christ and we belong together. We are together. So if they suffer, I suffer. So the ones that are not suffering, join the ones that are suffering to try to bring relief and aid. Again, my missionary friends, one of the things that he would call and have to talk through is just fear and anxiety. Because he's a missionary, not in danger. But the closer I get to the situation, I'm on the radar. My wife's on the radar. Things are going to get nasty for us. We might be in danger also, and that's okay for me. But what about my wife? What about the people that we know? The closer we get to her, the closer we are to danger, the riskier it is. But having to process that and walk through that. And this is normal stuff in first century Christianity. They were willing to give up stuff and lose stuff. And I know we're probably not going to be in that exact scenario. Maybe none of us are going to have to, in our context, risk our lives. But if you're going to link with the body of Christ, you're going to endure suffering. You're going to have to give up time. You're going to give up stuff. You're going to have to enter into messy conversation, I don't want to deal with it. Well, if they're suffering, you need to have that hard conversation. You need to tell that person. You need to go walk with that person through that. See, they endured suffering, not just from without, not just from the end, but also together. They're linking arms with one another and willing to be risky in loving one another, no matter what it costs them. And if we believe Jesus is better, we will risk things to love one another and serve him. We will, if we believe he's better than all of our stuff. So what I want to see is that for them, they're now to recall their joy in loss, which is just shocking to me. But this is one of those statements and verses that these are my heroes. And I think, man, I just want to be a little bit more like this. Notice what happens. For you had compassion on those in prison. Now, prison back in first century is a little different than prison now. If you go to prison, you're going to get food, water, shelter, air condition, probably TV. First century, you got a hole in a pit and they just threw you down in it. You didn't have food. So how would you eat? Your family had to bring you food in order for you to survive. So you can imagine these Christians were getting thrown in prison. How are they going to get food? Well, it's going to be through other Christians. Well, here's the problem. If you as a Christian go and take a meal to another Christian who's in jail for being a Christian, what's that probably going to mean for you? There's a good chance you also are not going to be an invited Christian and you also are going to be in prison. So there's a risk. So you're leaving freedom, house, stuff to bake a cake and take it to my buddy in prison knowing that I might get thrown there too. There's risk that's involved in the way these people are loving one another. And I want you to see what happened to them. So they had compassion on those in prison and you joyfully accepted the plundering of your property. That's really hard to imagine. So they're going and feeding the people in prison, and in doing so, they're identifying themselves as followers of Jesus. So people are going to their houses while they're away, and they're ransacking their houses. They're burning things. They're going through their clothes. They're stealing their livestock. They're vandalizing. They're spray painting on the walls. They're breaking out windows. So in serving the body, you are losing property, wealth, stuff that you love. And here's what it says that's just crazy to me. It says they joyfully accepted the plundering of all of their stuff. Joyfully. It was joy. I'm just thinking for me, I don't know that that could be joy for me. Like, if I were just honest, if picking Jesus meant losing everything I had, and now it's me, my wife, my four kids, we're homeless, we're out on the street begging for food, we've lost everything, I'm not sure that if you asked me, I would say, this is all joy. What about you? If you lost everything you have because of your faith, would it be joy? Would you rejoice? So it says they rejoiced. And they were joyful. So how in the world is it even possible for these people to rejoice in the plundering of all their stuff because they're linking with the saints of Christ in suffering? How is that possible? Well, the text actually answers it. Since. Here's why. Since you knew that you yourselves had a better possession and an abiding one. That's how you joyfully lose everything you have. It's you believe you have something better. Something better that can't be taken away. So that if everything else goes, you have God and God is enough. See, he's trying to get these people to see, hey, you want to go back to Jesus? You want to go back to your life? You want to go back to that stuff? Because I know it's hard. I know they're suffering. But just recall, the suffering you've already been through, at the other side of it, what did you figure out? Although you lost everything, you got more of God and God was enough. At the end of Job's story, what do we find? Him saying, God, you're enough. I see you now. I know you now. And you are better than everything else. See, we have to believe that and feel that. If we get to the point where we have to make a decision, where we respond, yeah, no. When the hammer is to our head, it's Jesus always, because he's better and he's abiding. We've got to learn to hold on to the one we can't lose and hold loose all those things we're going to lose anyways. That's what these people did. They held loose all the other stuff. So that when it's taken, it's going to be taken anyways. At some point, it's going to go anyways. And they held tight to Christ, the one who's better and the one who's abiding and the one who is forever. So they were able to risk loving one another and serving the Lord Jesus because they believed he was better. So if we're going to get to this place, because I think it's going to be a hard sell to get us to this place, I think we need to just kind of think through, maybe first of all, a theology of things. Because let's be honest, as Americans, we love things, right? I mean, let's just be honest, we love things. I love things, you love things. Let's all just confess we love things, okay? And there's not anything wrong with things. It's how tightly you grip things that make it either a gift or a god. And so let's just have a little theology of things, because we do love things. We like to buy things. We like to build garages to house things. And then we have people that build other garages called storage sheds that hold the other things that we can't fit into our garages, right? That's just us, right? That's who we are. If you look at the storage units throughout all of the world, 90% of the storage units in all of the world live in America. So this is kind of an us deal, okay? And I'm with you. I love my stuff. You love your stuff, right? If you took all of the storage units, there's about a little over 2 billion square feet of storage units. So what that means is that every person in America could go and stand in one of the storage units. It could fit the entire population of our country in storage units. So we just love stuff, right? And there's nothing wrong with stuff. It's how close do we hold it? How tight do we have to have it where it becomes dangerous? So Jesus would tell us a lot about stuff. So Matthew 6 would say this, do not lay up for yourselves treasure on earth where moth and rust destroy, but lay yourselves treasure in heaven, right? Because it's better in abiding. All of this, it's all going away anyways. He would say in Luke 12, take care and be on guard against all covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions. And that's like right against what most of us believe, right? What is life? It's in the abundant possessions. The more I get, the happier I am. Jesus would say, no, that's not life. That's okay. There's people in the Bible that had lots of things. That's not life. Not what you should pursue is life. Matthew 6, no one can serve two masters. He will either hate the one or love the other. He'll be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. See, I think this early church believed what Jesus said, and they practiced it. They had a theology of things, so when the things went away, they're like, well, we're not even storing those up anyways. We want heavenly treasures. So they're willing to give up. Why? Because they believe, number one, that Jesus was better, and number two, that Jesus is forever. And if you're going to give up whatever it costs, you're going to have to believe those two things. Jesus is better, and Jesus is abiding. He's forever. So just think about it. Jesus, he actually is better than all of your stuff and all the things in your life and your family and your dreams. He actually is better. He's the creator over you. He made heaven and earth and everything you love. He made all those things. Every good gift is from him anyways. And he is the one who made you in his image. He redeemed you by his death and resurrection. He loves you. He brought you into his family. He's going to give you a whole new kingdom where you live with him forever in eternity. Like, God is better. God is the treasure of the universe. At his right hand is fullness of joy, right? That's who God is. God is actually better than everything else. We just get distracted and don't see that. No, we believe this is better and that is better. No, God is better. And secondly, he's not only better, he's forever. Just think about it. He's forever. Nothing else that you're holding tight to apart from God is forever. Everything eventually you'll have to let go of. Like everything, it's all wasting away. The things we love, they're all wasting away and they're all going to go at some point. I pulled in the parking lot just the other day and one of my buddies says, man, that's such a nice Jeep. Man, I love that thing. I said, yeah, I like it too. I've had it for like 12 years. He's like, really? I've never seen it. I'm like, I'm questioning now, like, does my buddy even know me? Like, thought we were bros, but hey, there's my Jeep. Yeah. He's like, really? Man, that looks brand new. I'm like, well, I mean, it's an 07, so it was, but not yet. And it does kind of look nice. Like, if you see it at 100 yards, it looks pretty nice. But Keeg's laughing, because if you get a little closer to it, There's been some things that have happened. Like the motor blew up, so I had to get a new replace motor in it, which is, you know, not the greatest. And just recently, I had to replace all the brakes and the rotors. They may have been there. Like, somehow you got to replace it all the time. And then the speakers were completely blown out, so none of my kids would ride with me. So I finally had to break down and buy new speakers to put in my Jeep and had to get that going. It's got two headlights, but only one headlight works unless you bang on it twice and then it comes on. I think it's kind of quirky. Katie doesn't like it. So I had to order two new headlights for it, a little Christmas money. So I'm trying to get this thing like all back to where it needs to be. And so if you see it from afar, it looks good. But the closer you get, you realize, like, for instance, I'll give you the key and it doesn't have the clicker. I lost it. So you have to like go in and turn it, but you can't just turn. You have to like hold it and turn it or like break off. Done that before. And the alarm will go off no matter what. So you have to run and then crank it really quickly. There's a lot of fun things. And if you turn it off and pull the key out, the battery will die unless you do it just right. Crowder's learned that many times. And the thing when you get into the Jeep, which I kind of like, Katie doesn't, it's got two big rips in like my seat. So it's just foam coming out. And it really gives it that old man musky smell. You know, so you get in my Jeep, it's just, it looks good. But let's be honest, it's wasting away. And that's all of your stuff. Right? That's all of my stuff. Maybe you have a 2026 brand new something. Dude, that's awesome. Give it 500 years. And what's going to happen to it? It ain't going to be here. It's just going to be gone. That's all of our stuff. It's all fleeting. It's all perishing. Only Christ abides forever. So why would we hold on tight to the things we're going to lose anyways? And forget to hold on tight to the one we're never gonna lose, who is Jesus, who's actually better, and he's abiding. He's actually forever. So here's a group of people that said, you know what? We're willing to give up everything. We're willing to love radically and risky no matter what it cost us because we have a better and abiding possession. You know that guy, Jim Elliot, that I quoted about he has no fool to give up what he cannot keep, to gain what he cannot lose? 28, he flies into an unreached people group to try to share the gospel with them, spends a lot of work with them. When he finally gets face to face to them in Ecuador, they murder him on the spot. 28 years old. He lost everything, lost his very life. And you know, I just have a question. I wonder if we brought like Jim Elliot from the presence of the Lord here. We're like, hey, last 60 years, would you trade anything? What do you think he would say? He'd be like, well, man, I really would have liked that cool house and had a little couple vacations with Elizabeth. That'd have been fun. Or the presence of the Lord. Like, I'm pretty sure it's no question. I chose better because Christ is better and he is forever. All the other stuff, no matter what we give up, it's all going away anyways. So we've got to have a good theology of who Christ is and what all of our stuff is if we're going to be pushed, because sometimes loving people well requires suffering and giving and, you know, having people over your home, not always easy. Going into that friend's marriage that you know is messy, not easy, costly. It's easier to just be like, dude, I'm just going to do Netflix. This is way easier. I don't want to call that person. I don't want to talk to them. I don't want to disciple them. I don't want to. It's all risky and costly. The question is, what do we love more, Jesus or our comfort and health and life and all the little things that we have? Or do we love Jesus the most? Because when we love Jesus, we'll be willing to risk things and give up things to love Jesus and love his church and his people. So notice what happened next. He's going to say, hey, keep your confidence. So recall, you've went through suffering, you've lost everything, and at the end of it, when you're broken homeless, God was better than everything else. So remember that, because it might come around again. Remember, God is better and abiding. He's the only one. So hold tight to the one you can't lose, and hold loosely everything you're going to lose anyways. And then he says, now keep your confidence in the Lord. Verse 35, therefore do not throw away your confidence, which has great reward, for you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what is promised. Don't throw away your confidence. Don't throw away holding fast to the Messiah. He is God who saved you. Don't go back to Judaism. Don't go back to wherever you came from. Don't go back to the other religions. No, instead, have confidence in the Lord, which has great reward. I mean, what is the reward? We get God. God isn't only the rewarder, he's also the reward. And we love rewards, right? Some of you have credit cards just for the rewards, right? We love to be reward people. I was a 90s kid, so my favorite drink was Surge. I love Surge. I drank so much Surge. And partly because of the cool commercials, they were like jumping out of helicopters. And I'm like, I can do that if I drink Surge. So I'm just pounding Surge, buying Surge. It was awesome. Some of you are Surge guys, Surge girls. Anyways, one of the things about Surge, though, is not that it just tasted amazing and it did. It was like the best. But also, under the caps, there were reward points. And you could gain rewards. And then you got t-shirts and backpacks. So I was a kid at school with like Surge t-shirt, Surge backpack, Surge hat. It was awesome. I had all these rewards and all this good stuff. And more the rewards, the closer to death I was. And then they realized that. And they're like, Surge is like going to probably kill people. So they like took it off the market and you can't get it anymore. But it was awesome when it was. And I loved it. But I loved it for the rewards as well as for what it was. And I got a t-shirt and a backpack. You know what the preacher's saying? Hey, with God, you get God and you get all that he has coming to you. Like if you just hold your confidence, just stay in the Lord. There are rewards that are way better than any rewards that we could ever think about. We have needs of endurance. We need to endure. That tells me this is going to be hard. If you need endurance, it means it's not a short walk. It's a marathon. It's grueling. You're going to want to give up. You're going to have to endure. It's going to be hard. What are we enduring? The will of God. See, sometimes doing what God wants you to do is actually hard. Most of the time doing what God wants you to do is hard. It's like, man, you might start out like your 2026 budget. And you're looking at all your stuff and you're like, oh, man, I feel like we should probably give. Oh, This is me and Katie like, what is, how much are we gonna, like, what do we gotta give up? And for some of you, it's like, I gotta make a decision between, okay, I'm gonna give towards God's mission, or am I gonna subscribe to Netflix? Like that was a real, like maybe for you, and I know that's like bougie suffering compared to what they're doing, but it's still suffering. Staring at a blank TV because you gave generously toward God's mission, that's suffering. But it's, man, I'm gonna do this because I believe there's greater reward as I endure, as I give more for the glory of God. Man, there is something better. It's Jesus and his kingdom. And so notice, they have endurance to do God's will so that you may receive what is promised. All that's promised has been what's been happening all throughout this book, that we have defeat over sin, that we have a new kingdom that's coming. We're about to enter into a whole chapter of by faith. All these people did all these things. Didn't even receive it. But they're going to receive it through the coming, returning of Christ. So we have confidence in the Lord. We hold fast to him. And in doing so, we continue to live by faith. Notice in verse 37, it says this. For, I love this little quote from Habakkuk 2. It says this, for, yet a little while, and the coming one will come and will not delay. But my righteous one shall live by faith. And if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. I love that little language. These are people walking through suffering. They're giving up stuff. They're about to go back into suffering. He says, keep going. Do you know why you should keep going? Because yet in a little while, in just a few moments, in just a little bit, and then notice what he says, the coming one will come. I love that phrase. Like, I've never thought about one of the titles of Jesus as the coming one. That's what it says, the coming one. That's his name. That's who he is. The coming one. What's the coming one going to do? He's going to come. So what do you do? You're waiting. You're anticipating. He's coming. He's going to come for you and to get you. So yeah, you're going through suffering, but the coming one is coming. Have you ever anticipated something that was coming and it was just hard to wait? Like maybe you're engaged, you're waiting for your wedding. That's a long wait. Right? It is a long, but you know, man, your coming one is coming and it's going to be good. Or maybe there's a job opportunity, a vacation, a thing, a sickness that you've been through, just various things where you have to wait and wait and wait. And then that thing comes and it was worth the wait. God is saying, I know you're enduring some stuff right now, and this is the yet a little while moment, but he is coming. And when he comes, it'll all be worth it. So if you believe that he's coming and it'll all be worth it, what will you do? My righteous one shall live by faith. You're gonna live by faith. You're going to be like Gloria no matter what happens, no matter what comes of me. I believe and I'm having faith in Christ that he's taking care of it. My righteous ones will live by faith. That means the ones that have been made new, the ones that are reborn, the ones that aren't just professing but possessing faith in Christ, they have become righteous, and the righteous ones, they live by faith. They act it out. When things happen, they keep pushing forward because they have their faith in Jesus Christ. And notice, the righteous live by faith, and if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. So that there's the conviction, there's the comfort, and there's the warning. But hey, if you don't continue in faith, if you don't hold fast to Christ, if instead you hold fast to all those other things that you're going to lose anyways, then eventually you're going to shrink back and you're going to give up, and God's soul is going to have no pleasure in you. His wrath is going to be incurred on you. That was the warning we had last week. And now we're trying to figure out, okay, man, I don't want to be that. I want to be the one that holds fast to the Lord. So he lands the plane in verse 29, telling us not to shrink back. Don't be the ones that shrink back, but be the ones that have faith and move forward. Notice what he says. But we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who have faith and preserve their souls. So there's been kind of a lot of warning, evaluation, where are you at? And then he lands the plane with this little group and says, but you, you're not those who shrink back. You're not those who give up. You're still here. You're still holding Jesus. You're still walking forward. You still have faith. You're the one that by faith are preserving your very souls. You've been through suffering, and through the suffering, you realize God's better than everything else. So right now in suffering, cling to him. Hold tight to the one you can't lose, and hold loose all the things you're going to lose anyways. So no matter what happens, you know that God is better and that God is abiding, and he is the portion that you want. And by that, live by faith. And do what? Preserve your soul. Keep walking forward. See, when I got that text message that I was driving home from Nashville, I glanced at it. I didn't text and drive. I just glanced at it. So I called him, and it just said, she got baptized. Oh, man. And like a flood of 2 weeks of decision, persecution, almost death, fleeing from family, rescue to another house, trying to figure out her safety. I hadn't even contemplated that she would get baptized. Because it's one thing to say you believe in Jesus in this context that she's in. It's a whole nother thing to publicly display it through baptism. And so I called him. And I'm like, man, what was that like? And he just gave me a little bit of the end. They went to a swimming pool and had some friends and family that came down. And it was just, man, we just celebrated. She got so much joy and so much happiness. She has lost everything, like every single thing. Her family, her school, all of her education, all of her stuff, all of her things. She's lost it all. And we're about to put her on a plane and send her to another country to get her safe for a little bit. And then hopefully bring her back. She can start doing some work and be a missionary among the people that we are. Man, she's lost everything, but she's just so happy. She's just ecstatic. She just loves Jesus, and she can't get enough of Jesus. And it was like, man, I'm just processing these people, and I'm processing her. And then I'm asking, okay, what about me and what about us? We might not be in their same spot, but we do have their exact same decision. What do I love more? What am I going to hold on to most? Am I going to hold most and tightest the things I'm going to lose anyways? My life, my family, my stuff, my career, my reputation, my health, all those things. They're all going away anyways. We know that. So are you going to hold tightest to those because you believe they're best and better? Or are you going to hold loose to those things? Not neglect them, not love them, but just hold them loose so that if a decision has to be made in loving people or serving Jesus, you hold tight and most the one you can't lose because he's better and he is best. See, I told you, I've been trying to figure out if I were in that spot, what would I do? I'm going to ask the band. They're going to come back. We're going to sing a song and just kind of process this. But I've been asking for the last couple of weeks, what would I do? And honestly, I can't say, like, I want to say absolutely, but until you're there, it's hard for me to answer that question. But here's what I know that I'm going to do preparing for that possible day is I'm going to keep holding tighter to the one I can't lose. And I'm going to keep holding less all those things that I'm going to lose anyways, so that I can be risky in love. I can be courageous in my faith because I've got something better and abiding. And for you, that's what we must do. Hold fast to Christ and loose to everything else, because he's better than everything anyways. Let's pray together. Father, we do pray as we get ready to sing this next song and just process and think about the text that we've just read, the story that we've just heard, and then ask, what about us? Are we the people that would joyfully lose everything if it means loving and serving your people? Do we really love you as best and forever, or do we hold tighter all the other things around us? So let us process and think and pray to you and make sure we get it right, that we hold tight the right thing, the thing we're never going to lose, not the things we're going to always lose anyways. Father, if anyone needs salvation this morning, there's counselors here that would love to talk. I invite them to come and receive Christ, who is better and abiding. For the rest of us, let's sing and worship and think about what the Lord would call us to do in this time. We pray this in Christ's good name. Amen.
You're listening to audio from Hardin Baptist Church. For more audio content or other information about our church, please visit hardinbaptist.org.